Lowell Handler documented the lives of people who live with the condition he has, Tourette syndrome. It's a genetic neurological disorder which creates involuntary movements, noises, and thoughts. Sometimes the symptoms include uncontrollable swearing and obsessive-compulsive behavior. Handler was diagnosed in 1981 when he was 24 years old and in his last year of college studying to be a photographer. After the initial emotional upheaval, Handler decided to deal with his condition by taking pictures. He spent part of 1988 traveling with neurologist Oliver Sacks, photographing people with Tourette syndrome who Dr. Sacks was writing about. Then he became the associate producer and narrator of a documentary about people with TS called Twitch and Shout. Now he's written a memoir, also called Twitch and Shout. I spoke with him in 1995 when the film was released and asked Handler to describe his symptoms.
I guess I have a lot of different symptoms. I mean, I have a lot of vocal symptoms. I have a lot of noises I make. I have a lot of kind of barking sounds that I make. I have a lot of physical movements, a lot of twisting and turning, a lot of jerky movements of my arms and legs and torso. It's basically, that's what Tourette is. I mean, it's a movement disorder, and it's a disorder that involves an inability to inhibit, and not only to inhibit movement, but also to inhibit thoughts and words and actions and speech and noises and so forth.
What goes through your mind when you go through one of the twitches, like when you stamp your foot or when you thrust your arm out?
Mm-hmm. What goes through my mind?
Yeah. Are you conscious of what's happening, or is it an involuntary?
Well, it's involuntary. Sometimes I can sense it ahead of time, and sometimes it just jumps out. But what goes through my mind isn't any different than what goes through anybody else's mind. There's no particular thought process. There's no,
I guess I'm wondering this. When you're... arm gets thrust out, or when you stamp your foot, are you thinking, I'm going to stamp my foot now, or are you thinking, oops, I just stamped my foot?
No, neither, really. It just happens. I don't think of myself as really any different than anybody else, except that the only reminder, and it's a constant reminder of how I am different than everybody else, is people's reaction to me. But if there was nobody to react, or for instance, when I'm around a group of people who've known me for many years, there's no difference at all, because they're not reacting, and so I have no mirror.
How much compulsive behavior do you have, and what kind of behavior is that?
The compulsive behavior is one of the most disturbing aspects, I think, of Tourette syndrome. But it's not something that everybody with Tourette has. Certainly, I think a large percentage of people who have Tourette do have it. And that involves, you know, all kinds of things like touching objects, touching people, kicking things, and certain tics or involuntary movements can kind of be, it's kind of difficult sometimes to distinguish what is a tic, an involuntary movement, a manifestation of the Tourette, or what's a sort of compulsive action.
Mm-hmm. Now, I find it interesting, in your movie you say that a lot of people lose their symptoms when they're absorbed in their work, and that with you too, when you're taking pictures, you're not likely to get, you know, the tics and the noises that can interrupt you during the rest of daily life.
Yeah, that's true.
Is there any explanation for that?
I don't know what the scientific explanation is. I think that I'm not sure, really. I really don't know the answer to that. I know that the symptoms just tend to dissipate when one is involved in an activity and they're really concentrating.
So that must make it very appealing to work a lot.
Yes, I like photographing, and I like working, and it keeps me happy.
Well, you know, I interviewed your brother.
Yeah, but am I the first Touretter you've ever interviewed?
Yes, you are.
Oh, really?
Yeah, you are. And I interviewed your brother, I forget if it was a year or two ago, when he was
Evan.
Doing... Yeah, your brother Evan Handler, and he was doing a one-person show in New York about the years that he had leukemia.
Mm-hmm.
But anyways, he had said that, you know, you, his brother, had Tourette's, and So I made the mistake of thinking that you probably cursed a lot involuntarily, mm-hmm. which some people with Tourette's do. Mm-hmm. And so I think I asked your brother if it was unusual to have you visiting and have you kind of cursing involuntarily in the hospital. And he kind of straightened me out and told me that that wasn't a problem that you had. And you straightened me out more in the movie because only 15% of people with Tourette's have this right. problem, which is called coprolalia.
Right.
But boy, it must be really hard for that 15% of people with Tourette's who do have it.
Yeah, it's actually very difficult, extremely embarrassing, at times dangerous, and also very funny at times. I have a number of friends who have coprolalia, and especially when a lot of racial slurs are involved. There's one friend I have who lives here in New York City. She actually lives in Williamsburg, Brooklyn, and she says a lot of racial slurs. And so whenever we're out together, every single a member of a given ethnicity will pass by, and she will come out with the racial slur for that particular ethnic group, including her own and mine and anybody else's. So it can be very, very, very interesting going around town with her.
Well, you know, I think some people interpret that as, you know, well, this is what she's really thinking. Somebody else who thought that we would be able to, like, repress it, to keep it in, but because she has this neurological disorder, it comes out. But she really believes these racial epithets.
Well, I think, you know what it is? I'll give you an example that I think people can kind of grasp and understand. Mm-hmm. How many times have you been walking down the street and seen somebody totally bald and thought to yourself, baldy? Or seen somebody who weighs like 400 pounds and thought, fatso? These things pop into everybody's mind, but how many people would actually blurt them out?
But that's my point.
Thinks of the word. Mm-hmm. Sure, she thinks of the word because, you know, a lot of people would think of the word. It doesn't mean that she's against the person or that she's a racist or that she's a bigot at all. But yet the word is in the culture. It's out there. And it's already been established as a sort of label in society. So she simply has the inability to inhibit this language.
Do you remember the first time you met somebody else who had Tourette's?
Yes, I remember that vividly, and it was very frightening for me.
Why was it frightening? I thought you were going to say the opposite.
No, actually, it was frightening because I had, you know, somewhat middle-of-the-road symptoms, and I remember I went to a Tourette Syndrome Association meeting in New York City, which is where I live now, and I went with my parents, and I remember it was very difficult for my parents, too, because here was this thing that you have, and we really didn't know what to expect. And there was a man there who actually I'm still in touch with, a man named Bob Nast, who lives in New Jersey. And he had some very, he's a very nice guy, and he's a very intelligent man, and he had some very kind of classically severe symptoms. And he came over and introduced himself and shook my hand, said hello, and he was like, you know, mouth popping and flailing and all over the place. And I'm saying to myself, holy God, you know, is this going to happen to me? Or, you know, who knows? You know, Tourette is not degenerative. That's the first thing everybody asks. Is it degenerative? It's not degenerative, but it's constantly in a fluctuating state. Sometimes it's worse, sometimes it's better. It waxes and wanes, and it changes every day and every week, and you really don't know what to expect. So it was frightening for me, but then now I don't even give a damn anymore, really. But it just, I didn't know what to expect. It was that kind of thing.
Does anyone on the street ever assume that you're homeless because you're walking funny or because you're talking to yourself?
I think they don't think I'm homeless because of the way I'm dressed.
Right.
But I think they do think, I've had many times people react where they think I'm an alcoholic or I'm a drug addict. The other day I was in my neighborhood, in the East Village, and one of the actually homeless guys who was panhandling, I was buying a New York Times on the corner, and he looked at me, and I was kind of barking and doing that, and he looked at me and said, "You've been drinking that vodka again, huh, buddy?" And I said, "No, have you?" You know, what am I supposed to say? But it's like everybody has some comment. Everybody wants to put in their two cents.
Part of your film is set at a a national conference for people with Tourette syndrome.
Tourette's Conference.
Yeah, and it looks like a really interesting conference, and several of the people attending comment about how it's the place where they feel most comfortable in the world, mm-hmm. because everyone at the conference has Tourette's, and you don't have to explain yourself. The hotel staff understands what's going on, and so you don't have to be self-conscious about anything. Do you feel that way there, too?
Oh, definitely, yeah. And in fact, Oliver Sacks was there with us.
Mm-hmm.
He's kind of like our unofficial mascot. it was a lot of fun. I mean, those conferences are incredibly exhausting and rejuvenating at the same time.
There was one discussion at the conference about the difficulty of finding a lover or a spouse. Is it usually hard for people with Tourette's to find somebody that they feel really comfortable with and who feels comfortable with them? I'm wondering, too, if you know a lot of couples who both have the syndrome.
Well, actually, you know, I think it is more difficult for people with Tourette or with any particular condition, just because it's an added difficulty. A couple of years ago, both Laurel Chaitin, the director of this film, and myself were at a wedding. And the wedding was two people who both have Tourette syndrome. And it was quite incredible. It really was. Because the man actually had a severe case of Tourette syndrome, and the woman had a mild case of Tourette syndrome. And there was a rabbi conducting the service, and every single thing that was said as part of the ceremony, there was some response by the groom in relation to what was being said, so that the rabbi would say, we all look forward to these things in life, being together, and the things that we look forward to. And the groom yelled out, Grateful Dead tapes, Grateful Dead tapes. And then he said, we've so thankful to the Tourette Syndrome Association for bringing these people together, and they've given so much. And he said, like, money, money. And all kinds of hysterical things like that. And everything was like almost like a comedy routine, you know?
When we decided to do this interview, I, of course, wondered, you know, what if any symptoms would come out while we were talking? You mm-hmm. know, would you be twitching as we talked? And you know, would there be noises being made? And now you're in a studio in a separate city from me. We're talking via fiber optic line. So you're in New York, I'm Philadelphia. I haven't seen you. But there's been a couple of times when I heard, I thought a little shout or something.
Right.
But really, I mean, nothing has, on the whole, sounded different than a typical interview. Do things usually go that uninterrupted for you? Is it because, like, you're particularly focusing on the interview?
Yeah, I was going to ask you if you're disappointed.
No.
It is because I'm sort of focused, but it's also because I think my Tourette is highly visual, and I think that, it also tends to be very interactive, where I'm interacting with other people, so that I'm very animated and I kind of move around a lot. But when I'm kind of concentrated and asked to be contained in a setting, like in a studio like this, in a sound studio or on a train or a bus, I tend to try to keep to myself and just focus on the task at hand, yeah.
Your movie is called Twitch and Shout, which I really like the title because it's funny. And I'm wondering if you and a lot of people you know with Tourette syndrome have a sense of humor about it.
Yeah, we definitely do. I think it's both, it's a full range of things. It's very terrible, it's uncomfortable, it's awful, but it's also quite hysterical and quite funny. And I think it's all of those things at the same time.
I want to thank you a lot for talking with us.
Thanks, Terry.
Lowell Handler has a new memoir called Twitch and Shout. Our interview was recorded in 1995 after the release of the film Twitch and Shout, which he narrated.